Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, please. If I could reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, ma'am, and you may begin whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, judges. My name is Joan Burrows. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Bellamy this morning. We're asking the court...
You sound a lot better, Ms. Burrows. Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're asking the court to essentially send this case back to the circuit court and have them issue an order that is more clear and that is consistent with the law. Our position here this morning is that this order on its face is insufficient and based on what the judge said in court was incompatible with the applicable law.
What would you say is the applicable law that we're dealing with here?
Well, since Mr. Bellamy was convicted under 18.2-248, 18.2-259.1 mandates that when somebody is convicted under the 248 statute, there is an automatic 6-month suspension of his license. And that statute specifically states that that period of suspension begins when that conviction order is entered.
Or when probation commences.
Or when probation is ordered, I believe is the...
I don't believe it's when probation is ordered.
Placement on probation, which I would put to the court. If the sentencing order indicates that he is to be placed on probation, he at that point is placed on probation.
But somebody's not on probation until they're released from incarceration, correct? You can't be on probation while you're serving time.
Certainly not. But I when we look at what we start with the 18.2-259.1, and then we follow it up by looking at the 46.2-390.1 and the more general 46.2-414.
Except that the suspension wasn't pursuant to 46.2.
Correct, but I think it still speaks to convictions under the 18.2 drug statutes. So I think that it's still instructive to look at that. And that those statutes all indicate that the suspension begins when the conviction order is entered. And so at that point, that puts us in the position that the trial court's statement, this is to begin upon your release from incarceration, is incorrect. And so...
Help me on this, Ms. Burrows. Where do we have any indication on what we're looking at on appeal that it was not done? Because the order says as required by law.
Certainly.
It's suspended for a period of 6 months as required by law. So let's say it's done under, you know, your 18.1-259.1 requires it be done 6 months from, in this situation, for purposes of my question, from the moment of conviction. Where do we have anything in the record here that shows it wasn't done then?
Certainly. I think the problem that we have is that the order on its face is not clear enough to be enforced by the DMV. But my concern is that this order is sent over to the DMV. It's sent to folks that are charged with running the motor vehicles in Virginia. These are not attorneys. These are not people that are familiar with how these laws are to be applied. And so I think the purpose of a court's order is to inform the person who perhaps was not in court, certainly as the members of the DMV would be, what the judge meant. And so we are...
They're going to get a copy of the order, as you say.
Yes.
And as you have noted, everyone here today has noted, the court speaks through its orders, not what's in the transcript.
Certainly.
So if 18.1-259.1, if I'm saying that right, yes, is the statute that requires this. I guess I'm trying to see. I mean, clearly, whatever DMV, if they did it correctly, they've already done it.
Certainly, and I do think that is an issue here. As far as the order itself, I think, first and foremost, I'll point to the fact that the Commonwealth is agreeing that as it stands right now, the way it's interpreted is it's to begin once Mr. Bellamy is released. But barring that interpretation, I believe without directing the DMV to this specific statute, we have a problem where we don't know, the DMV is left without understanding which statute it's supposed to be suspended under. We're sending the DMV on a hunt through the Virginia Code to figure out how to suspend this gentleman's
license. Of course, you were
not
trial attorney, you know that, and you've noted that you're arguing this under the ends of justice exception, so it's got to be a grave injustice or miscarriage of justice. Assuming there's error here then, which you have to get to the ends of justice.
Certainly.
Let's say they do it as of 6 months from release. Court could order that under as part of probation requirements or restrictions under 18.2-303 or other methods. Why would it be, if that could be done anyway, why would it be a miscarriage of justice or grave injustice if it were interpreted and done 6 months from the date of release? So it actually prevents this gentleman from driving, because it's not going to have any effect if it's done under 18.2-259.1.
Well, I think, first backing up, under 19.2-303, if the court is going to suspend part of the imposition of a sentence, which I presume would be the case here, that we're, instead of imposing the 6 months when you're convicted, I'm going to suspend it and then impose it when you're released, the court's required to place on the record the reason for that suspension. There is no indication of that in the record. So I don't think that the trial court is allowed to, or is allowed, this court can presume that the trial court was acting under 303. And so, but the grave injustice here, I point to this in my brief, certainly the right to drive in Virginia is not a fundamental right, but it's something that's still protected by due process. And so if we've agreed that somebody is entitled to due process prior to having their license suspended, then certainly that is an essential right. And the abrogation of that right, I think, gets us to the ends of justice and the grave miscarriage of justice.
Didn't he have his due process, though, when you then, with the result, you get a conviction under that code section? You've had your due process there because the suspension becomes automatic. You've, in addition to any other penalty imposed, you've got the suspension of your operator's license that comes along. So we're not dealing with whether or not he's supposed to have his license suspended. We're dealing with what the appropriate start date was. So when it comes to something that could follow up on what Judge Beals was asking, a suspension of his operator's license serves no effect if it goes on solely while he's incarcerated. Then that statute is essentially without effect when it comes to suspension of operator's license for that gentleman. So if he's then suspended upon his release from incarceration, then we go back to Judge Beals' question. How, since it really it's the only way it has any effect on him whatsoever, how is that a grave injustice?
Well, I think it helps to look at the fact and remember the fact that 18.2-259.1 applies to all drug convictions, not just convictions where somebody's looking at a 6-year sentence like Mr. Bellamy received. It covers folks that receive suspended sentences and things along those lines.
Which is why probably it has from the date of such judgment or placement on probation, because it provides for the alternative. Either when somebody is convicted, if there's no active jail time at issue, or when they're placed on probation, which definitionally has to be upon their release from incarceration.
I would still maintain that the fact when the sentencing order is issued and it says that you are to be placed on probation, that I think covers what 18.2-259.1 is talking about. I think from a policy standpoint, 18.2-259.1 is there for the folks that receive de minimis sentences and perhaps add on to it. I think we have bigger concerns as a Commonwealth with somebody like Mr. Bellamy is sent to jail for 6 years for dealing drugs. We have bigger concerns than this gentleman driving. I think that the 259.1 suspension is there for the folks that are on the lower end of the spectrum and perhaps to add to their punishment. So
he does have 4 years in addition to the 6 active years that's suspended, right?
Yes.
Then if we're supposed to presume that the legislature intended to give meaning to every word that they chose, then if it's just from the date of such judgment, which is always going to be when somebody is ordered to probation if there's not any active jail time, then why the or placement on probation? Because, frankly, you don't need or placement on probation if we're simply dealing with whatever the court's ordering at the time they enter judgment.
Well, I think perhaps it could be relating back to the first offender statutes and things along those lines where it may not end in a conviction. You go into court, you find yourself, or you, excuse me, you're found in, the court finds that there's sufficient evidence to convict, but then carries it out for a period of a year or however long the court sees fit.
Which is why they use the word judgment instead of conviction.
Certainly. I think under the statute, again, I don't think it's out of place to relate this statute to 46.2's, the 414 and the 390.1, because they both relate back to when these suspensions related to certain convictions are to begin. And so for those reasons, I do think that the trial court was an error. This order is facially deficient for the purposes of instructing DMV when to begin this statute. And I think the grave injustice here is, again, he has had an additional sentence imposed upon him with essentially an additional 6-month suspension on his license that was imposed against him improperly and outside the bounds of the statute. So for those reasons, I would ask the court to send this case back for a clarified order that comports with...
Can I ask you, Ms. Burrows, you're emphasizing the as required by law language is being too vague.
Yes.
For DMV. Suppose there had been, you know, nothing in the transcript that might seem to contradict what we're talking about here. Would we be here?
Perhaps not, Judge, but I still think the theme here is accountability, and certainly looking at the conviction order, there are a number of other statutes referenced outside of just the 18.2-248. I mean, I think that speaks to the fact that these orders are meant to be able to be read by somebody who is a layperson who is not familiar necessarily with these statutes that control. And so for that reason, I think we would still be in a position that this order is facially deficient and that it needs to be corrected by the trial court.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jones.
Good morning. May it please the court. I am John Jones for the Commonwealth, and we are asking this court to affirm Mr. Bellamy's sentence because it's admittedly not preserved under 5A18, and it doesn't warrant consideration under the ends of justice.
How do you get to an ends of justice that is grave injustice or miscarriage of justice when we're talking about it, when a license suspension takes effect?
You certainly cannot, Your Honor. And the bottom line is that the error discussion is really academic if they cannot get to a grave injustice. And here, where the Bellamy sentence was well within a lot less than the maximum sentence that the court could have imposed, that there's just no way to show a grave injustice from those facts. It's the Commonwealth's position that, moreover, that it was within the court's discretion, that there was no error in making the 259.1 suspension begin upon his release. But if they can't pass the gate of showing a grave injustice, then the court doesn't really even need to reach that question. So
reach the question on the merits?
On the merits, yes, Your Honor. The suggestion that was made that there was a denial of due process somehow in this case, I find that very suspect. Bellamy had full due process in his trial, and he had a self-supplied conviction. That was his due process before having this revocation. And then if you look at the authority that's given to trial courts generally to craft the conditions of suspended sentences, and Judge Beals, you touched on this with one of your questions, even if 259.1 didn't authorize this revocation, the court had the authority apart from that under 19.2303 and to just give him a 6-month revocation here, and there's no problem with that under the code.
How do you respond to Ms. Burrows' point, though, in response to my question that the court didn't note that in any way, and under 19.2-303, it's presumably that can be done, as we discussed, but it's not even listed as one of the specific alternatives for the court to implement.
Yes, Your Honor. I guess the best answer that I have for you is that there is no limit, and I cited a couple of cases on brief. The only limit on the conditions that a court can fashion when it's considering its conditions of probation are that it be reasonable and that it be aimed at the rehabilitation of the offender is the underlying case law. So I don't think that in this situation where there's a license revocation, where we have clear case law pointing to the purpose of such revocations, that the court needed to go further than that in its order and explain why it was doing that. You know, we have a protective purpose that is well enunciated for 18.2-259.1. That's to prevent people from operating vehicles under the influence of drugs and using vehicles to transport drugs. That's why we have that statute. That same rationale would apply to any additional revocation that occurred after he got out of jail and was still on probation. And there was a case in my brief as well, where this court affirmed a 20-year revocation of license as being within the court's authority. And so this 6 months, I don't think it's error, but I also don't think there's any way you can get to it being a manifest injustice. So,
can you respond to Ms. Burrow's point, her last point to us, and that is that the order is just, even if you don't look at what was said in the transcript, that the order is just not clear to a layman and to the people at DMV so that they know what to do by simply saying the defendant's driver's license is suspended for a period of 6 months as required by law. When do you start it? When do you end it? It as required by law is too vague.
I don't know how that gets to a miscarriage of justice, Your Honor. I can't imagine that harming Bellamy in any way. If we look at it as the harshest that it could have been was a 6 month revocation that was well within, that's the worst thing that could happen to him if DMV reads it, and that was well within the court's authority. I don't know how that prejudices him.
If it weren't within the court's authority to do it under another statute, it could be a miscarriage of justice, or would be.
It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that without having specific facts in front of me, but I would defer to Your Honor on that if you have an inclination. And again, if we get back to actually one thing that I wanted to notify the board of is that the language in to the extent that Well, never mind. I don't think that the court's inclined to probably go that direction, so I would reserve that, actually. Because there was no error and because there was no manifest injustice, we would just ask the court to affirm the sentence, and I would yield the rest of my time unless there are other questions.
Thank you. Ms. Burrows?
Judges, I would just simply say, unless you all have any further questions, I think my position has been fairly covered. I don't have any additional argument.
Thank you. We will come down and greet counsel and perhaps family, and then we'll stand in recess.
All right.